Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What happened to music that meant something?
The Who at the Kingdom or Kiss at the Coliseum. Where is the Misty Mountain Hop? Where is the... Is the smoke on the water? Where is the Iron Man of today?
Hey, this is not a test. This is rock and roll.
Whether or not you believe in love at first sight, there's something exciting about laying eyes on someone special for the first time. I'm Greg Kot.
And I'm Jim DeRogatis. In honor of Valentine's Day, we share some of our favorite songs about first impressions. And later, we'll review the new album from the punk band Priests. That's all coming up on Sound Opinions. This is Sound Opinions, and Greg, you know, we've done a bunch of Valentine's Day shows through the years. This year, we thought we would do the concept of love at first sight. Now, I have to say, I'm fundamentally against this notion. I think it's a lot of romantic claptrap because it boils down falling in love with someone to just the visual, you know, and the love of my life, Carmel, you know, we spent 5 hours on the phone before we ever saw each other. Mm. And that's what did it. It was that connection. It wasn't the visual. And I remember, you know, first impressions. I mean, they're dicey to begin with. The first time I'm sitting in the balcony at Metro reviewing a show for the Sun-Times, I'm preconditioned to dislike you. You're at the enemy. You're at the Chicago Tribune. Sun-Times, the working class tabloid paper, right? And you didn't even say hello. So, but this worked out all right.
Well, I think I was focused on the show. I knew your reputation preceded you, Jim. You hated Springsteen, Joy Division, Gang of Four, three of my favorite artists, yeah, and you were loud yeah. about it, and really yeah. nothing's changed. You were exactly what you were in the first impression.
It's worked out, though. So we're going to do songs about first impressions, love at first sight, whatever you want to call it. And speaking of something I didn't like at first, and I still don't really love it, I thought I would lead off with The Doors as my first pick.
I'm surprised, I have to say.
I knew you would be surprised. Hello, I Love You is, if you take The Doors out of it, A very great pop song, and B, one of the best songs the Kinks ever wrote. It, of course, infamously rips off the riff for All Day and All of the Night, to the point where the British court ruled with the Kinks when they sued, and royalties for this song go to the Kinks, Ray Davis.
Girl, I want to be with you all of the time.
Why do I dislike The Doors? You know, you've got this cocktail lounge keyboardist. You've got a flamenco guitarist. You got a jazz drummer. Doesn't really rock all that often. And you got Jim Morrison. What a hyper-masculine buffoon, right? And so he sees this woman. The story is that he and Ray Manzarek were sitting on Venice Beach, and they saw this woman walking by. And Morrison responds by saying, you know, sidewalk crouches at her feet like a dog that begs for something sweet. Do you hope to make her see you, fool? Do you hope to pluck this dusty jewel? Hello, I love you. Won't you give me your name, right? And he doesn't even care about this woman as a woman. Mm-hmm. It's completely objectifying, right? I know it's the 60s. I know it's a different era. But what a male chauvinist pig Jim Morrison was. Despite all that, I really like this song. And I think it is a great first impression song. This is The Doors with Hello, I Love You, a 1968 hit from them on Sound Opinions.
Hello, I love you. Won't you tell me your name? Hello, I love you. Let me jump in your game. Hello, I love you. Won't you tell me your name? Hello, I love you, let me jump in your game. She's walking down the street, blind to every eye she meets. Do you think you'll be the guy to make the queen of the angels sigh? Hello, I love you, won't you tell me your name? Hello, I love you, let me jump in your game. Hello, I love you, won't
Hello, I Love You by The Doors. It is a very silly song, but there's something about
it.
It's a guilty pleasure for me. My first impression pick. Greg, what have you got?
Jim, I'm going to stick in the bubblegum vein, just like The Doors track. Another song from that 60s era that sort of is a cliche in some ways. Mm. Doo-Wah Diddy Diddy, the big hit for the Manfred Mann Band. Out of England was number one in 1964 in both the U.S. and U.K. But the version I want to go to is the original version by an American female vocal group named the Exciters. That's who it was originally written for by the great songwriting team of Jeff Barry and Ellie Greenwich out of the Brill Building. They wrote a ton of great songs in that era, Be My Baby, River Deep, Mountain High, Leader of the Pack. This was another one. You know, when you talk about this theme of superficiality and jumping in, you know, at the first glance of someone, that is so rock and roll. That is the essence of rock and roll.
Spontaneous.
You act before you think,
mm-hmm.
before you really know someone. And, you know, teenage lust has been based on that, and rock and roll, therefore, was based on that in the early days. But what I like about this song, the twist it puts on that theme is the way it turns the tables a little bit. You know, the Manfred Mann version is the guy checking out the girl. The Doors, it's Jim Morrison checking out the girl. You know, it's always the guy scoping out the girl and making the first move. Mm. In the Exciters version of Doo-Wah Diddy, which is how it was originally titled, it is the woman who is, you know, checking out the guy.
And this is in 63.
This is 1963. Brenda Reed does a great job of selling that sense of, you know, I am the stalker here, you know? And then when the hand claps come in this song, it's all over. The excitement builds, it surges. It's a very effectively done.
You're getting kind of worked up over there, Scott. Yeah.
It's a great song for this type of theme. The Exciters, Doo-Wah Diddy on Sound Opinions.
Yeah.
That's Doo-Wah Diddy from the Exciters from 1963. Jim, what's your next first lust, first love song?
Well, you know, Greg, I was having a hard time coming up with this list. Usually when we do these list shows, you and I have like 20 off the top of our head. And I think I fundamentally disagree, as I said, with this idea of love at first sight. I think you got to get to know someone's soul. I'm a more romantic person than you, I think. But our producer, Brendan, had a great idea here. Alkaline Trio, Chicago-based punk band that became rather a mundane kind of commercial bland punk band. But in the beginning, 1998, they were still firing on four cylinders. This is a great song called Clavicle, which is obsessing about a particular body part. So, you know, in typical teenage fashion, Greg, it starts out with, I've been on top of the world since 6 months ago, first time I laid eyes on you. But the protagonist, the singer of the song, doesn't actually get to act on that until a week ago. Been on top of the world since about a week ago when he finally gets drunk and talks to her. Now, I think there's some positive signs here. He says, I'll be bothering you soon. And she says to him, no bother, please do. But it ends unrequited. This is a first love song, love at first sight song that ends without anything other than the singer hoping someday to wake up next to the object of his affection, kissing her clavicle. All right, that's kind of innocent.
A little strange.
For a punk, but yeah, a little bit. He's fixated on one body part. Maybe it's a bit fetishistic. Clavicle by Alkaline Trio on Sound Opinion. I've been on top of the world since about 6 months ago.
Curve in your clavicle.
Clavicle by Alkaline Trio, a love at first sight, first impression kind of song. Greg, you got another one for Valentine's Day?
Oh, I do indeed. I'm going to go to the great bard of the Britpop movement, Jarvis Cocker of Pulp. I think Pulp is one of the most underrated bands of that era. I mean, Oasis got all the hype, and Blur, obviously, well-deserved hype. But I think Pulp was one of the great bands of that era, and it's particularly for Jarvis Cocker's skewed songwriting. And he doesn't let us down when it comes to first love. This song, Disco 2000, talks about a first love in which the couple in question here is in love on the day he is on the day they are born. Actually, he's in love with her on the day they're born, but they don't know it yet. This is kind of a weird story. It starts out with the parents sort of saying, well, you guys belong together very early on. And the kid, the boy, is told this so often by his mother that he begins to believe it. And then when he finally does sort of engage the girl on a more pre-adolescent perspective as opposed to a baby perspective, he starts to have feelings for her. And these carry on through his entire life. I mean, he never loses this initial love of this girl. And the girl doesn't want anything to do with him, ever.
Well, this is just the wrong side of creepy, you know what I mean?
It's a very strange song. But he's got this first crush that he can never shake. He ends up never apparently living alone the rest of his life. She gets married, has a kid, and he's still calling her up and saying, hey, come on, bring the kid over. I'd love to see you. And she still doesn't want to have anything to do with him. Poor Jarvis never is able to take the next step after his first crush, which apparently began at birth. This is Disco 2000 from Pulp on Sound Opinion.
Although I often thought of it, oh, Deborah, do you recall? Your house was very small, with one chip on the wall. When I came round to call, you didn't notice me at all. And I said, let's all meet up in the year 2000. Won't it be strange when we're all fully grown? Be there 2 o'clock by the fountain down the road. I never knew that you'd get married. I would be living down here on my own. On that damp and lonely Thursday years ago.
That is Disco 2000 from Pulp. One of my first impression songs. We've got plenty more later on in the show, Jim, but first let's hear a pick from one of our listeners.
This is Kevin. I'm from New Carlisle, Indiana, and my song that I pick as a first impression song is XTC's Then She Appeared from the album Nonesuch. I picked this song because this is, to me, one of the purest expressions of first impression, and Andy Partridge from XTC has loaded this with these great references that you practically need footnotes to follow along to the references.
Then she appeared, apple Venus on a half open shell. Then she appeared, the first photograph on Fox Talbot's jail. I was a little
unlike so many XTC songs where there's some hint of irony or some sense of humor, this seems like just the purest expression of that almost overwhelming feeling that you get when you have that love at first sight impression. And for that reason, when I first met my wife and, you're in that sort of mixtape making phase, this was an obvious choice. This was one of the early ones to get out there. So, there's sort of a personal connection as well.
Pretty good pick. XTC, Then She Appeared. I would have gone earlier. I would have gone with something like I Feel Like I'm Walking Around at 10 Feet Tall, right? Yeah. Which is how I've always felt when I first really connected with someone when I've fallen in love. But our listeners never let us down. After a break, we're going to hear more tracks about first impressions, and later we'll review the new album from the punk band Priests and pay tribute to legendary jazz and soul composer David Axelrod. That's all coming up on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX.
Today I met the boy I'm gonna marry. The boy
Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island has been brewing award-winning beers in Chicago that are inspired by this city. Take 312 Lemonade Shandy, Tropical Beer Hug Double IPA, and a rotating series of hazy IPAs only available in Chicago. Every time we go down to Goose Island, there's another one that they're pushing on us.
That's right.
They're all good.
Absolutely. And what supporters of musical culture, in the city of Chicago and elsewhere, if you go to a show in Chicago and you see that Goose Island sign, you know you're in good hands. They're music fans as well as great beer makers at Goose Island. So we're really proud to be associated with them.
The Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer.
Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island's been brewing beers in the spirit of Chicago.
You can find IPAs, Lemonade Shandy, and limited releases in-store or at one of Goose's venues in Chicago. Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer.
Welcome back to Sound Opinions. I'm Greg Cott here with Jim DeRogatis, and we're talking about songs that capture the moment when you first meet someone. We'll have more picks from us later, but first, let's hear from our listeners.
My name is Max. I'm calling from Brooklyn, New York. And my pick for a first impression song is We've Met by Jason Isbell, which is technically a second impression song.
We've met. I can tell you don't remember. I can see it in your face. You never left this place. We've met before you were a question, before your eyes were blue. Did all that change?
It's about someone returning to their hometown and re-encountering someone that they used to have a relationship with, but this person doesn't remember them. So it's sort of a song about somebody re-meeting someone they were once close with and watching them have a new impression of them. I had a girlfriend who I'd first met when I was a teenager at a camp. We re-encountered each other much later in life, and she didn't remember me. We ended up dating. It didn't work out, but that song, We've Met, has always reminded me of that situation.
We've met, city was the country, that mountain was the sea, did I even look like...
Max is really eloquent there. That's
wow.
A good story.
Yeah.
What I was thinking about when he was talking is how much less of a story, how much less romantic, how much less appropriate for Valentine's Day it would be if it was just like on Facebook, right? We met and he reconnected with me on Facebook, right? There's some things that still have to happen in the real world, Greg.
Absolutely. Let's take another call.
Hi there. My name's Nick. I'm calling from the south coast of England, Sussex. And I'm calling about a first impression song. My choice is The Leader of the Pack by the Shangri-Las. Back in 1964, pop music didn't always have to be bland. You could tell some amazing stories with it. You had the Beatles. I saw her standing there at the beginning of 1964. And it's a great catchy pop tune, but it doesn't really say much other than I saw someone standing there, and that's about it. But then later in the year, the same year, the Shangri-Las come out with this amazing song which tells a whole teenage tragedy in a little under 3 minutes. The girl meets the guy, she gets a ring on her finger, her parents disagree with her choice and say she has to let him go. She lets him go and he goes and crashes his motorbike and dies. Incredible. I mean, who does that these days anymore? I don't think we get songs like this. And another thing I love about it is it's almost impossible to cover this song. There have been some really, really bad covers. Bette Midler, Twisted Sister, no one can get it as great as the Shangri-Las did back in the 60s.
That was Nick with a great pick. The second Ellie Greenwich and Jeff Barry song that we played on today's episode, Jim.
I should have just been the whole show.
What a great songwriting team, and what a great song, The Leader of the Pack by the Shangri-Las. We want to hear from you out there as well, listeners. Do you have a first impression song? And if so, give us a call on our hotline at 888-859-1800. Or you can connect with us on Facebook or Twitter. Jim, you've got the next first impression song.
I'm going to go to the Cow Sills, Greg. I don't believe we've ever played the Cow Sills on Sound Opinions. Or if we have, it's been a really long time. Who are the Cow Sills? Well, you've heard of the Partridge Family. Everybody's heard of the Partridge Family. This band from Newport, Rhode Island, six siblings aged 8 to 19, plus mom, are the group that inspired the fictionalized TV Partridge Family. I've always been a huge fan of Susan Cowsill. She was the one sister, a great voice. And, this song, is kind of cheesy. No, not kind of. It's really, really cheesy. Summer of Love, 1967, The Rain, The Park, and Other Things. People are scratching their head. You probably know it as The Flower Girl. That's how everybody thinks of the song. But The Rain, The Park, and Other Things is the official title, 1967 hit. And those words never appear in the song, which is what throws everybody. Like many of these first impression songs, there's an element of stalkerish creepiness here, okay? You know, this guy's in the park. He sees this girl. It's raining. Raindrops are falling on her. It doesn't seem to bother her. She smiles at the singer, and then he knows she could make me happy, right? And this obsession kind of builds throughout the song until the very last line, "Was she reality or just a dream?" Yeah, dude, I think you were tripping. I think you were tripping and projecting some weird sort of lustful fantasy here. But the contrast between the strangeness of those lyrics and the flowers and making me happy with the innocence of the melody, that's what makes the Cow Sills something special. The Rain, the Park, and Other Things from 1967 by the Cow Sills on Sound Opinions.
I saw her sitting in the rain, raindrops falling on her. Seemed to care. She sat there and smiled at me. Then I knew,
I knew
she could make me happy.
Happy.
She could make me merry. Flowers in her hair, flowers everywhere.
I love the flower.
Oh, I don't know just why. She simply caught my eye. Say hello.
Hello, hello.
She smiled up at me.
Hello,
then she took my hand and we walked through the park alone. Then
I knew
she had made me happy.
Happy. She had made me very
happy. Flowers in her hair.
The Rain, the Park, and Other Things by the Cow Sills, a nice piece of corporate psychedelic pop. They wouldn't even let them play on their own records, Greg, although they were accomplished musicians, the brothers. It really was Partridge Family Monkeys kind of thing. What do you got? Another song?
I do, and this one's on the artistic spectrum. It's about like a 180 from the Cow Sills song. It's a bona fide classic as sung by Etta James. A Sunday Kind of Love. And again, a song with a kind of a twist to it. It was originally written in the 40s. Louis Prima was one of the co-writers of the song. And it was a big hit for him in 1947, a year earlier. The Claude Thornhill Orchestra and Fran Warren, the vocalist, turned it into a hit. It became a big band and jazz vocalist standard. I mean, it was one of those litmus test songs. If you can handle this one, you know, you're a pretty good singer. Etta James was all of 22 when she recorded it, but it was a very sophisticated lyric for a 22-year-old woman to be contemplating. This is a song that deals with this whole idea of first impressions, first loves, and she's tired of it. She's already, you know, beyond that first love. I want a Sunday kind of love, a love to last past Saturday night, and I'd like to know it's more than love at first sight, and I want a Sunday kind of love. So it's this yearning for something beyond what that first impression is all about. And Etta James really invests it with some meaning that suggests that Etta James lived a lot of life by the time she was 22 years old. This came out on her debut record in 1960, which if you don't have At Last, that Etta James debut that came out in 1960, produced by Phil and Leonard Chess, you're missing out. Etta James with a Sunday kind of love on Sound Opinions.
I want a Sunday kind of love, a love to last past Saturday night, and I'd like to know it's more than love at first sight. And I want a Sunday kind of love. Oh, yeah, yeah. I want a love that's on the square. Can't seem to find somebody, someone to care. And I'm on a lonely road that leads to nowhere. I need a Sunday kind of love. I do my Sunday dreaming, oh yeah, and all my Sunday scheming, every minute, every hour, every day. Oh, I'm hoping to discover a certain kind of lover who will show me the way in my arms. Need someone to
hold. Good one, Greg Kot. Etta James, A Sunday Kind of Love. Before we give our final first love, first impression picks, let's hear from one more caller.
This is Daniel. I'm calling from Fairfield, Connecticut, and my pick for a first impression song is The 14th of February by Billy Bragg. It's actually, oddly, about not remembering the first moment that he met the woman who would then become his wife, but it's all about the power of first impressions and how he wished he had remembered that moment when he first met her, because then it would have been a lot more meaningful. And it's very meaningful to me because I don't know the first moment when I laid eyes on my wife, neither she or me. We knew each other for years before something finally clicked. And so this song has a lot of meaning to us, and so much so that we had it read at our wedding.
I wish that I could remember the first moment.
Billy Bragg, not normally known as a romantic kind of guy, but
I was waiting for the union protest chant.
Yes, normally a little more strident, but he does have a few romantic bones in his body, as proven by that song, 14th of February. Now it's time for our final picks, and I'm going to lead off with my final pick, Chet Faker, an Australian producer, electronic composer, Nick Murphy, in a duet with a singer named Kylo Kish. He put out a song in 2014 on his album Built on Glass called Melt, which is a love at first sight song, and it applies to both members in the relationship. And even though both seem to be crushing on their opposite number, they can't bring themselves to take the next step. So they're both sort of circling around each other. And as you hear the individual verses by Murphy and Kish, the frustration builds in those verses. It's almost kind of comical. They go from this idea, I'm too cool, you know, and you can almost hear it in Chet Faker's voice there, that he's going to play this cool. He's not going to let his guard down. But as the verse progresses, you realize he's completely unraveling because he wants this person, but he doesn't quite know how to go about consummating this first impression. So here's Chet Faker with Melt on Sound Opinions.
Help me breathe. You're breaking up my speech. While you smile at me, you got the whitest teeth. You won't leave me alone. Every time I rest in my head, breaking bones, breaking bones. You made me lose my tongue, fall all over the words. I'm not the kind of one to lose myself in the hurt. You gotta move in a body that's the shape I want. Is on fire, got the easiest position to destroy my life. All you have to do is arrive.
Melt my happiness, some kind of rough the mess. Looking out for you is a kind of waiting game that leaves me running circles into my brain.
Chet Faker, electronic composer out of Australia, duetting with Kylo Kish on that song, Melt. Jim, you've got our final pick for the day. What do you got?
Greg, I'm going to end with a song by Mary J. Blige.
Yeah.
And, you know, nobody follows Mary J. Blige. It's got to be the last song, mm-hmm. right? She has a song called simply Love at First Sight. Not one of her biggest hits. A little bit of chart action in 2003 when it came out. It featured Method Man joining her, doing some rapping on here. Built around a sample from A Tribe Called Quest of Hot Sex. Okay? Which I think, you know, we talk in the occasional segment we do, Sample Platter, about how the use of a sample can add many things, not only a hook and some musical background, but some context, right? So Mary, unusual for Mary, is questioning herself. She sees this guy, it seems to be at a club or some setting like that. He's getting all this attention, and she's asking herself, could this be love at first sight, baby? How could this be if I don't really know you? Could it be love at first sight? I think Hot Sex proves eventually something came out of this first sight here. Mary got what she wanted. But she's cynical like me. She doesn't know if she quite believes in this concept of love at first sight. Mary J. Blige, perfect artist for Valentine's Day, as long as you don't cross her on Sound Opinions.
See you, Mary.
Love at First Sight by the great Mary J. Blige, which wraps up our songs about first impressions. Next up, we're going to review the new release from the punk rockers Priests and talk about the late music producer and composer David Axelrod. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX.
Shots coming, it's something for the radio, guest starring MC, John Blazing, the hip-hop and R&B, what, y'all thought y'all wasn't gonna see me, you can't spell Mary J. Blige without a JP, but back to the matter and the sex on the platter, she only wanna be happy and I ain't mad at her, you go mama, nowadays I'm more calmer, and if you take a look at my life, no more drama,
now you know,
you're searching for a Wu-Tang pro, you find me just about everywhere the Wu-Tang go,
now you know,
tell me like your favorite love song, cause my computer love is the truth.com.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome back to Sound Opinions. I'm Jim DeRogatis. My partner is Greg Kot. And that is a little bit of the opening track, Appropriate, from the new album Nothing Feels Natural by the Washington, D.C. band Priests. Greg, this is a quartet that formed around 2012. A couple of self-released tapes, a 7-inch single. The reputation for this band was growing all the while, and now we have a full-length debut. Interesting stuff, and a powerhouse vocalist, Katie Alice Greer, but the instrumentalists playing behind her are getting just as much attention. Let's play a song. We'll come back and give our reviews of Priests. The album is called Nothing Feels Natural. This tune is called Pink White House on Sound Opinions.
That is Pink White House from the debut album by Priests, Nothing Feels Natural. Jim, this is a personal slash political critique of nothing less than America.
Yeah, big ambition.
A withering critique of consumerist, capitalist culture and the way it dehumanizes us. That song we just played, Pink White House, a great line in there, many great lines in these songs. In this one, a puppet show in which you're made to feel like you participate. What could they be singing about in the song Appropriate? Contestant, you're on Wheel of Fortune. In the song Puff, my best friend says, I want to start a band called Burger King. And I say, do it. Make your dreams a reality. Withering sarcasm, withering critique of consumerist culture. Remind me a little bit of Gang of Four, that UK band in late 70s, early 80s, critiquing capitalist culture, and I like it a lot. The rhythm section is great. Yeah. Taylor Mullitz's bass lines on this record are just taking me for a spin around an imaginary dance floor every time I listen to this record. GL Jaguar's guitar playing, not conventional, kind of spastic, kind of bursts of sound, spasms of noise, with a surf feel, treble, a lot of treble these songs. And then you mentioned the vocalist, she's a pistol, but in a way that is more nuanced than the previous albums. Katie Alice Greer was more of a shouter and a growler. She does plenty of that here, but there's also some nuance in here. There's some, they're flirting with ballads, they're flirting with more atmospheric pieces. So this is an incredibly diverse-sounding record. For a debut, they sound like a very confident, fully formed band with an idea in their heads about what they want to say and how they want to say it. This sounds like a band three or four albums into its career. This is a buy-it record.
I agree. It is a buy-it record. Greg, you singled out each of the instrumentalists. There's a lot of experimentation. We could take it back to the post-punk era, Slits, Raincoats, but it seems more urgent. It's a record that could only be made by someone in the current generation. It's a very millennial perspective here, about consumerism, about the role of technology, about alienation. Singing about their lives, straightforward honesty, but you know, that cliche, all politics are personal, they then broaden it out. It's an inspiring record in every way, so two enthusiastic buy-its.
That's a track from the Electric Prunes record, Mass in F Minor, a real sidestep for the Electric Prunes, this garage rock band who started working with a producer by the name of David Axelrod in the late 60s, and that's why we're playing that track. Axelrod died on February 5th at the age of 83, and a lot of you may be going, who? In the hip-hop world, David Axelrod is a minor deity, maybe a major deity, because he was praised up and down for the recordings he made starting in the 60s and well into the 70s, 80s, and really his entire career that have been sampled numerous times by hip-hop artists. Questlove, the great drummer from The Roots, said he was so immersed in creativity and so pure with his arrangements, he was hip-hop. That's quite a compliment coming from Questlove.
So Questlove is saying that about this guy who was a white guy growing up in South Central.
He's growing up in South Central, which was a predominantly black neighborhood. He was working around black artists, working with them. Two of his early successes as an L.A. staff producer for Capitol Records were Lou Rawls and Cannonball Adderley. He worked extensively with R&B, soul, and jazz artists.
I've lost at love before. I got mad and I closed the door. But you said, why don't you try just once more?
I chose you for the one. Now I'm having so much fun. You've always treated me kind. I'm about to lose my mind. You made me so very happy. And I'm so glad you came into my life.
Came into this nexus of soul, jazz, R&B, rock, and orchestral pop, Axelrod really helped pioneer this kind of very dense, very sophisticated songwriting and arranging style. He was inspired by the way that artists like the Beach Boys' Brian Wilson and the Beatles' producer George Martin were using the studio as an instrument, and he took that to the next level, and that was the case with the Electric Croons. I mean, he did nothing less than arrange and write a record that was essentially a mass sung in Latin and Greek, arranged to psychedelic music with an orchestra.
You know, there's over the top, and then there's over the top, and then this is so far over the top, it's like, forget it.
It's almost insane. Well, that record was not really appreciated in its time. People were going, what is this? But there was enough of a buzz about Axelrod being onto something different that he was allowed to start making records under his own name. And his debut album is still one of the most sampled recordings in history in terms as far as the hip-hop generation is concerned. It was called Song of Innocence, and it's a concept album, really a tone poem. It's pretty much orchestral, based on the writings of the Irish poet William Blake. I mean, this is serious
stuff.
So you mean
he got there long before you, too, right?
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, rock guitar, psychedelic flourishes, you have jazzy improvisation, this very deep, lush orchestration. It's very sophisticated, it's very trippy. You can hear not only the influence on hip-hop, because they were taking bits and pieces of these instrumental pieces, but in a band like Air, that great French band, is very influenced by somebody like Axelrod. He combined a huge orchestra with great studio musicians. He was working with the cream of the L.A. crop, people like Earl Palmer on drums and Carol Kay on bass. So these were top-flight musicians. Axelrod himself was a top-flight musician and created this incredibly dense masterpiece. This record has been sampled dozens and dozens of times. And this track in particular that I'm going to play, Holy Thursday, more than 20 hip-hop records sampled from it, 20 key hip-hop records. So here we have David Axelrod, white dude from L.A., speaking to a largely black audience 50 years later. Holy Thursday is the track that so many hip-hop artists have sampled. It's by David Axelrod on Sound Opinions. That was Holy Thursday by David Axelrod, who died at the age of 83 on February 5th. His work has been sampled by hip-hop artists ranging from Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg, Lil Wayne, DJ Shadow, Madlib. They are all in David Axelrod's debt.
Important to remember, Greg. What do we have on the show next week?
Next week, Jim, we have a live in-studio performance and interview with the great punk band Go-To-Beds.
Sound Opinions has been produced by Brendan Banaszak, Evan Chung, Alex Claiborne, and Ayanna Contreras. It was love at first sight with us for all of them. On Sound Opinions, everyone's a critic. So give us a call on our hotline, 888-859-1800.
messages.
Hey, Sound Opinions. Thanks for the Kraut Rock special. One thing I was going to say was, if 1991 was the year punk broke, then 1983 was the year Kraut Rock and Kraftwerk broke. 1983 just saw so many Kraftwerk-inspired acts, like, you know, Midnight Star had the I'm Your Freakazoid song, Come On and Wind Me Up. And George Clinton had the Atomic Dog song. But there was also the Gap Band, You Drop the Bomb on Me.
You drop the bomb on me. But you turn me on. You drop the bomb on me. Baby, you drop the bomb on me.
Anyway, this is in the South where it was all over radio, R&B radio. And really, I think that's where a lot of the Kraut Rock influence made its way to, was R&B radio. And after 1983, they really went away. And before 1982, it was all guitar, drums, and bass. But 1983 was the year Kraut Rock broke. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Hello, my name is Jose, and I'm calling from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Wanted to comment on the show that I just heard that was on Kraut Rock and Maggie Roach, and I just first of all want to say that I can't believe there's a sort of mainstream radio program or podcast that's like talking about these things. It's just like if my teenage self in the early 80s would have thought that 35 years later we'd be listening to these thought-provoking discussions of these topics. Now I just don't know what I would say. It just feels amazing, but it just hit me so hard emotionally to listen to this. And thank you so much for doing your show. Okay, bye.
Hey, this is Roger from Brooklyn. I just listened to your program on Shirley Collins, who I had never known before. I mean, I might have heard about her in my studies of folk music and all, but I was blown away. At first, I heard her voice in the beginning of the program, and I was like, oh, God, no. And I'm a big jazz guy. But I am so glad that I ended up listening to that full program. What a wealth of knowledge, and what an incredible woman. What an incredible voice. What an incredible talent. What a life story. Her life story is like history, really. It's great that you guys are bringing her the attention that she deserves. Take care.
Hi, this is Vanessa Farron from Lincolnshire, Illinois. You asked what we thought of Shirley Collins and the English Folk Revival. What a lovely program. I'm not sure if I had heard of her or her music before. It just made me feel like everything was fine and that I would live forever.
Hey, this is Shannon from Yanceyville, North Carolina. Hey, I'm actually a diehard rock fan and find your show tediously boring. I really apologize. I know a lot of people get into it, but I just can't believe how boring your show is. And some of the music you have on there is, it seems like it would be punishment if you actually had to listen to it. And you actually give most of it good reviews. I'm really surprised. Anyway, man, I'm glad you guys got a job doing that because you're very fortunate.
No more messages.
To share your opinions on Sound Opinions, call 888-859-1800. We'll be back next week on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and distributed by PRX.